B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 1:30 across the Delaware Valley. Interesting. What's going to happen? I'm waiting patiently. To hear some news, Junis. It's a very momentous day with the NBA draft tonight, maybe a pending Ben Simmons trade, Philly's deadline tomorrow, and of course, the big story on Action News, the Eagles, day two of camp, and the play of the day, Hurts, Smith, touchdown, Birds. And joining us to break it all down, he is the great Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Nobody covers the Birds like Jeffrey. You got to check him out on Twitter, read him in the Inquirer. He's terrific. Jeff, what do you say, brother?
What's up, Anthony? Another year.
That's a man who says it on the second day, back to work and looking up at the top of the mountain. At the bottom, looking all the way up at the mountain. That's a long way to go until February.
Yeah,
I hear you, brother. That's the life of the beat writer. So tell me about the play first. What'd you think of the Hurts to Smith?
Yeah, start carving out the bust for Hurts and the bust, I guess, both for Hurts and Smith. It was 7-on-7. I guess straight go for Devonta Smith, and he beat, I believe it was Steven Nelson, and Hurts was able to kind of teardrop it about 50-plus yards to Smith right before, I think it was Kevon Wallace was the safety, came over, and yeah, it was a nice hookup against no rush. And
yeah, nobody's making a big deal out of it.
Fans are excited. No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is football, and here's the other thing, too. Like, Devonta Smith is, people are excited about it. It's like, you know, I mean, listen, you of all people know the history of receivers in this town, right? So when you get a playmaker like Devonta Smith, there's an air of excitement that the fan base has.
Absolutely, and justifiably so. He's had his obvious rookie struggles with some drops, facing up against Darius Slay, but you could see certainly the talent and, you know, how quick he is in and out of his breaks, how strong he is with his hands, the clear speed, you know, when he gets moving. I think he's legit. We'll see how legit, you know, how high the ceiling is for him. But, you know, I still want to see a lot more of him out there. Obviously, when the pads go on, I believe they go on tomorrow. And, you know, when the preseason starts, and then obviously when the season comes along. It's early here in the process, but Devonta Smith off to a nice start.
All right, so just simply, what's your early takeaways? Like, let's start with the Nick Sirianni. What do you feel about the coach? Like, what's your early takeaway?
Yeah, energy has been the buzzword, it seems like, from a lot of the players, and it seems when you're watching him out there, that's an apt description of Nick. We've seen it in press conferences when he gets a little heated. He's engaged. It can be something as minute as how you scrape your feet in, how a receiver will skip his feet in the corner route, or maybe how you use your hands in a certain blocking situation. And he's dialed in. He's engaged. He doesn't strike exactly like you know, an imposing presence like some of the previous coaches here, just based upon size or, you know, the youth of the coaching staff. A lot of them are young, so maybe he blends in a little that way. And plus, because he's young, I mean, he's new, and this is his first time being the head coach. But, you know, the practices have been pretty up-tempo, I'd say, for just shorts and shells and day one and two. So you like to see that competitiveness. He's added some wrinkles to the, at least compared to what we've come to get used to in terms of how practices are run. I think Lane Johnson told us today that every play is tracked so that there's a winner or a loser for every play. And
I like that.
That builds competition. So based upon the first day of how they track plays, the defense won. Lane was pretty sure that maybe the offense got the edge today. Typically, you see the defense ahead of the offense early in camp. I'm not sure if that'll be the way it pans out. I thought defense played pretty well today. But, Nick runs the professional practice, and you'd expect him to, being a head coach.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, so what about, let's go a little further, the rest of the staff. Who kind of stood out for you with the rest of his coaching staff?
Yeah, certainly the youth stands out. There's a lot of young guys in positions of importance, or for the first time in those positions. Jonathan Gannon, a defensive coordinator for the first time. Michael Clay, special teams coordinator for the first time, and a bunch of position coaches. I mean, there aren't really many leftovers. Really, the only main leftover is Jeff Stoutland with the offensive line. Again, the energy is the buzzword. You see guys that are running around, getting guys' faces if need be. I don't think it's, old school in that way. What you've seen from previous veteran coaches under Andy Reid or Chip Kelly or even Doug Peterson. That's kind of the way to go, I think, with today's modern NFL player. Focus on how you can coach guys up and improve them. Yes, there'll be a time to point out mistakes, and I think you'll probably do a little more of that in the film room than out on the field. But nothing stands out in terms of, anything being negative.
Yeah, no, I meant negative or positive. Yeah,
I think it's a positive that there aren't any negatives standing out or in terms of, guys dressing down. I don't know if that works.
Well, you saw the Joe Judge thing, right? And Calvin Benjamin, he ripped on me. It was a big issue with Giants camp, and he ripped Joe Judge for being a cusser and for being basically a tyrant. So, I hear you. Like, that could be a thing. Nick Sirianni relatability, maybe that's a really good thing. What happened with Brandon Brooks? Is he okay?
Hamstring injury. According to the Eagles, they're saying it is a precautionary evaluation. When he walked off the field, I kind of looked at, I saw he wasn't limping. He didn't seem like he was uncomfortable in any way. He didn't seem upset. So what the Eagles are saying, I'll take on the surface. I'll probably make a few calls to see if that's exactly the truth or not. Look, when you have a guy who's coming off two Achilles tendon ruptures and the other injuries that Brandon has had, along with his, his public and open battle with anxiety, you got to be concerned about Brooks and whether he can play all season. This is your Pro Bowl right guard, and Lane Johnson's also coming off surgery. So, look, the offensive line, when healthy, should be, I think, one of the better units in the NFC. But that when healthy thing is a big question, as we saw last season when they went through so many different configurations of the offensive line.
Jeff McClain with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. So, Jeff, let me ask you this. I kind of go into it with a clean slate. Like, I just go, all right, new regime. It's new everything. So I have no expectations. I'm kind of burden-free like that. I just want to kind of analyze it as it goes on. And my expectations are really modest. I mean, young coach, young coaching staff, young quarterback. I mean, I just kind of want to see growth more than wins and losses. I mean, I don't know who asked that question about win totals, but that was ridiculous. Like, I look at it and go, you know, you kind of know what it is. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I mean, they're not thinking that way, and nor should they. And I kind of view it the same way. Yeah, there are certainly leftover, residue from last season that they're gonna have to shake off, especially with the returning players. But a new coaching staff allows guys who maybe didn't get off to a good start last year, particularly the rookies, to get a second chance. And not just them, but also maybe veterans that maybe took a step back last year or were injured last year. So, the whole kind of turning over a new leaf thing can benefit some guys. And you know, it can have an adverse effect for some guys who have been so good for a long time and have been given certain things based upon their stature here. Maybe they got to go in and work a little harder for that. But I think that's a good thing. And in terms of the projections of how this team is going to perform and the expectations, I guess you want a low bar if you're the coaching staff, because you can kind of come in and not have that type of pressure. But as you know, in Philadelphia, there is a lot of pressure. There's pressure on this front office, particularly Howie Roseman. And you wonder how that's going to factor into how this, you know, how roster decisions are made and how starting decisions are made and certainly how the quarterback position, you know, is going to be handled. If Hurts is going to be the starter come week one.
Tell me about Hurts and what you see early, what you see from him. I mean, besides the fact that he's got, you love all his intangibles and you love everything about him. It's about, you know, the physical ability. Can he overcome that and be that franchise quarterback? What's your kind of vibe with Jalen?
Yeah, you know, I felt like he had that last year, even as a rookie. He looked comfortable out there right from day one last year when we started showing up for training camp. So his demeanor out there hasn't been a little bit anywhere near a surprise to me. Yes, he's the QB1 right now, and a lot has been written about his leadership abilities. But I tend to focus more on his performance and how he's doing in between the lines. And yeah, he's been shaky. But again, defense usually performs better than offense early on. And he's learning a new offense again. So there's going to be rough patches. But, you know, as we noted at the top of the interview here, he had a great pass to Devontae Smith. He's had other moments. There still maybe is a habit of holding the ball too long and maybe using his feet. I think that will probably help in year one, even if maybe there would have been a read that he should have gone to, because teams are going to have to adjust to that. We saw that last year. But he can throw the ball. It's just, the issue, I think, is just repetitive accuracy. That's going to be something that he's going to have to
constantly work on. Windows, man. Pro about pressure, man. How you throw with pressure in the face of pressure. There's going to be tape on you. You know, I mean, you know, that's the job, man. Complete the ball, complete plays down the field with pressure on you and do it consistently. I mean, you know. That's what he's looking at.
That's what's going to ultimately decide if he is an everyday starter, an every week starter.
Mm-hmm. Brother, and last thing, Ertz, he's here for the time being. Anything there, you think?
He's here and with the bleached blonde hairdo. You know, I wrote a column today about about Zach, and while he didn't talk, I think, you know, everyone's wondering why is he still here, you know, how he's holding out for what. And there have been offers. They could have moved him. I mean, you're not going to get a high draft pick for him anyway, just based upon last season and his contract situation and his age. What are you hanging on for? And, you know, I posited this scenario. I think it's possible that Howie has to be needs insurance in case maybe Dallas Goedert is part of the trade package for Deshaun Watson. And, you know, Houston has a definite tight end need. They've liked Nick Caserio likes Dallas Goedert. He would be a guy that, so Howie doesn't have to give up a bunch of picks to get Watson. He could throw in a good ascending young player on a rookie contract. And if you lose Goedert, what do you got at tight end? Nothing. So you still, if you have Earth still on the roster, you still have that solved.
That's interesting. So the Watson thing is still kind of looming and lurking.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, there's a lot that the Eagles have to figure out. We got to see how they got to do all the due diligence on what is happening behind the scenes with his court cases and how the NFL is going to handle that. It's a tremendous risk. So they're not going to, you know, make that decision lightly, take it lightly.
Sure.
And it obviously depends upon, you know, Houston's asking price via various reports is extremely high. But as I was told, and I reported back in March, Howie would do almost anything to get Watson. Is he going to forfeit the entire future of the franchise and all the picks that they've accumulated for one quarterback? I don't know, but I don't know if they're completely sold on Hurts, and Deshaun Watson certainly would be an upgrade.
There you go. Jeff, great stuff, man. It's great to hear your voice. It's great to chit-chat, talk birds, talk football, man.
Yeah, love it.
Awesome, love brother. It. Look, thank you. We love you, and we appreciate your time each week, buddy. You're the best.
All right.
Thanks,
Looking
pal.
Forward to next time.
Appreciate it, buddy. There he is, Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.